When we were looking at the scriptures that talk about Jesus' birth, not only in the Old Testament, the prophecies that foretold his birth, we also looked at the New Testament verses that tell of his birth. And when he came to earth and he was born in a manger, and the angels rejoiced and the shepherds rejoiced and the people saw this Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, this Son of God in human form that came to save us from our sins. And so I said that, well, you know, back then, nowadays, and I don't even know if people do it nowadays, it's been so long since I've had a child or my wife had a child that, you know, we started a baby book. I don't know if they even do that anymore. It's probably all digital. It's probably all on something that you can save. But, you know, we had a baby book, and we'd put pictures of our babies and their birth certificate, or I mean their announcement of their birth, and all of these things. We might even cut off a piece of their hair and put it in a little envelope and store it in their baby book. Well, you know, when you think about it, this is our baby book of Christ, how we can see Christ and we can know him through God's word. He's woven through all of Scripture. In the Old Testament, we have the prophecies and we have the law that told them what they should do so that they could be right with God. And in the New Testament, we have the actual story, not a story, but the history of his birth and how he came to earth to be our sacrifice, to be our Savior from our sins. So we're going to look today at John chapter 8, starting with verse 21. And these are previously in chapter 8, they had brought this woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus, and they were trying to stone, they want to stone her. And then we also have the fact that Jesus says there that he is the light of the world. And he says in verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so then as we go on to verse 21, and then said Jesus again, he's speaking to the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the time who studied the law and wanted to make sure that they were perfect under God's law. And he says to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. He's speaking of his death and resurrection that are coming in the future, and how he will return to the Father from where he came. He left his throne in heaven to come to the earth to be our sacrifice. And he says, I'm returning again. And he told the Pharisees that once I'm gone, you're going to look for me, but where I am, you cannot go. He says that he is telling them that you're going to die in your sins, because he knows that they are not right with God, even though they observe the law. They are not right with God because they have not given their life to him, and they do not recognize that this Son of God came to earth to save them from their sins, to make them right with God. Earlier in chapter 7, verses 33 and 34, he said unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and whither I am, there ye cannot come. So he's telling them, I'm going to the Father, but you will not be able to go there because you are not right with God. You do not recognize me as the Son of God. You do not recognize me as the sacrifice for your sins. You're trying to get there on your own merits or own goodwill. In verse 22, it says, Then said the Jews, so now they respond to him, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Well, the Pharisees thought maybe he was going to commit suicide. And in their beliefs, if you committed suicide, you could not go to heaven. You were, in fact, to the lowest hell. And so they think maybe he's going to commit suicide. And that's why he's saying, if he commits suicide, he's going to hell, and you cannot come here. So they obviously think, again, that they're headed for heaven. And, you know, then at the same time, if they would have realized that this was the Son of God, they would have realized that the place that he was going was back to sit with the Father. Verses 23 and 24. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So again, he's telling them that you're of this world. I'm not of this world. And you will die in your sins. He says, for if ye believe not that I am, that he is the great I am, come to earth to save us from our sins, if you do not believe that, then you will die in your sins. And they respond again. Verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world of these things which I have heard of him. So even though the Old Testament prophets had foretold his birth, it told that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and it all took place, they still don't know this. And the Son of God is speaking to them, trying to direct them, trying to draw them unto him, and yet they say, who are you? They don't realize that this is the Son of God. And he says, well, I've been telling you this from the beginning. I've been telling you the same thing, that I've come to save you from your sins, and they still don't understand. He says, I have many things to tell you, and the one that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him, the Father. And in verse 27, it says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So they don't understand again that he is speaking of the Father. And he says that when he's speaking about his crucifixion, how he would be lifted up, and that once they have seen this crucifixion of the Christ, it says, then you will know that I am. Then you will know that I came from the Father, that I am the Son of the living God, and I do nothing of myself, but as the Father had taught him, he brings these things to them, and they continue to be blind and do not understand that he is the Son of God. He says, the Father sent me, and the Father has not left me alone, for he always does the things that please him. Christ was doing the will of the Father, and they don't see that. And then in verse 30, and he says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. So what he was telling them obviously got through to some of the Jewish people of that time, because they realized then what he's saying is truth. What he's telling us, we should listen to, we should hold them in our hearts. And it says then that many believed on him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he's telling the Jews, those that have listened to his words and trusted in his words and believed in him as the sacrifice for our sins, he says, if you continue in my word, if you live the new life through my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they respond once again. And they answered him in verse 33, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So they're going back to their family heritage and they're saying, we're sons of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you tell us that you are going to set us free? You can't make us free because we're already free. We're not slaves to anybody. Not knowing that they are in fact slaves to sin. And verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. So he tells them, he answers them, that we all commit sins. We all fall short of the glory of God. And whoever commits sins is a slave to sin. But he says, a servant abideth not in the house forever. If you're a slave, the slave owner can sell you to another slave owner, to another family. So you may not abide in that house forever. But the Son abides. If he is the son of the slave owner, they're not going to send him somewhere else. He's going to remain there forever. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So if you allow the Son to come into your heart, if you make him, if you become a slave to him, then he will set you free. Even though you're a slave to Christ, then you're set free through his blood. He says, I know ye say that you're Abraham's seed, but if you were Abraham's seed, why are you seeking to kill me? Because in all of these things, they were trying to trap Jesus into doing something, into committing a sin, so that they could say that this is not the Son of God. In fact, we're going to see later that they even say that he has a devil. So they blaspheme him. He says, if you were truly Abraham's seed, you're boasting the fact that you are born of Abraham, you're trying to get in on your own family merits, but if you were really Abraham's seed, you would not be trying to kill me. And he says, my word hath no place in you. He speaks those things that he has seen with the Father, and you do the things which you have seen with your Father. I am from above, I speak of my Father. You are from below, you speak of the things from your Father. And they answered again. He's pleading with them. He's revealing his truth to them over and over. And we read that some believed. Some heard his word. Some heard his testimony. And they believed because of it. But as he said, my word has no place in your heart. So they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. So now he's telling them that what you're boasting about, that you're Abraham's seed, that you're children of Abraham, he's telling them that if you were, you would not be seeking to kill me because Abraham did not do these things. Abraham walked with God. Abraham understood this, and they certainly do not. Ye do the deeds of your father. So he's pleading with them over and over. Come to him. Understand his words. Understand the truth. Leave the slavery to sin. Leave the slavery to the devil. And come, follow him. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So now they're trying to say, okay, it didn't work that we told you we were sons of Abraham. So now we're going to say, we're sons of God. But we have one Father and even God. And in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So now he's confronted them. Now that they have tried to say that they have one Father, even God. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. Because they would understand that he was the very Son of God. God in the flesh. God with us. He said, I didn't come of myself, but he sent me. He sent me to you to bring you this message of salvation, the gospel, the good news. Why do you not understand this? And he says, because you cannot hear my word. And then he says, you are of your father, the devil. And that's why they can't hear the word of God. That's why the word of God cannot dwell in them, because their father is the devil. The word cannot dwell in them because they are slaves to their sin. And if they do not come to know Christ as their Savior, if they do not believe in him and why he came, they're going to die in their sins. He says, the lust of the Father you will do. So while Christ came to do the will of his Father, they are doing the will of the devil. And they're following after him. It says, your father was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. See, he deceived Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden. And because of that, death came upon all of us. He lied to them. He brought death into our lives, so he became a murderer from the very beginning. He had no truth in him. He deceived them, much as he's deceiving these people. I tell you the truth, and you believe me not. He says, which of you, they've been trying over and over to convict him, to prove that he has sin in his life, and yet he was without sin. And if I say the truth, you believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And that's much of like what we deal with today. There are people in this world that believe that God's word and what Christ was telling these people, they believe it's just foolishness. They don't see this word as having Christ woven through it, trying to lead them to him. Instead, they see it just as foolishness. You know, why would only weak people believe in that stuff? But Christ is telling them over and over and over again, come unto me, let me set you free from sin. Let me give you a new life that you might live it more abundantly. And they just refused to listen. Verse 48, and they come back again. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? So now they're saying that Christ is not of the blood that he says he is, but he's a Samaritan. They despise the Samaritans. You know, when you have the story of the Good Samaritan and how they would go on the other side of the street to avoid him. Now they're accusing him of being a Samaritan, a half-breed. And they say, you have a devil. So they blasphemed him. They said, you're not the Christ, but you have a devil. You are of the devil. In verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So he says, I'm not a devil. I have not a devil. I'm honoring my Father. And it's him that is going to receive the glory. Not me, but the God will receive the glory. And there is one that seeketh and judges. It is God. And he says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Because Christ came that we might live, and we will pass into, we will have a new life, and that we will pass from this place to be with God. We will not see death. And they respond again. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. How can, they're saying, how can you say this? Abraham's dead, the prophets are dead, so you're saying that if a man keeps my sayings, you'll never see death? How is it? Abraham's dead and the prophets are dead, and they saw death. So we know, or they proclaim then, that we know that you have a devil, because this is not true. Everything that he's telling them is true, and they refuse to believe it. Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Who are you trying to tell us you are? Because they are not believing it. In verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He says, it is my Father that honoreth me, and you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. Again, he's still pleading with them to understand the truth, to know the truth, to know that he is the Son of God. You proclaim that God is your God, but you've not known him. I know him. And if Christ would say that he did not know God, then he would be a liar just like they are. And he says in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He's probably referring to the fact that Abraham proclaimed when he was going to sacrifice his own son on the altar, he said, God will provide a lamb. So he knew that God was going to provide this lamb, this Christ, to all of us. And so he says he rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So once again, the Jews respond to him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? How can you say this? How can you say that Abraham saw Christ's day and he was glad? How can you say that? You're not even 50 years old. How could Abraham have seen you? Once again, he's pleading with them. Come, believe in me. Believe the things that I'm telling you. I came to save you from your sins. Repent, turn, and come unto me. But they believed him not. And Jesus said unto them in verse 58, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So now he's telling them for the last time, I am the Son of God. Before Abraham existed, I was from the beginning with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among you. Before Abraham was, I am. The last message to them at this point in time that they could now turn from their sins, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and know that he is the very Son of God, dwelling with them. And in verse 59, it says they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He'd taken this message of hope to them. He pleaded with them over and over again. Hear the truth. I bring you the truth from the Father. I'm going to the Father, and when I go there, ye will seek me, and ye will not find me. And where I am going, you will not be able to come. Because if they deny the very message that Christ has for them, that he came to pay the price for their sins, you and I and they could not get there of their own strength and of their own accord and of their own blood. They had to go through Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, we all know that verse. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ. In verse 18, continuing on, But he that believeth not is condemned already. If we don't believe, if we don't listen, if we don't take God's word and understand and believe that he came to pay the price for our sins, then we are condemned already. And he says we're condemned because we hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19 there in chapter 3, it says, And this condemnation that the light is come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we all have the opportunity to read God's word, to listen to God's word as he's calling us. The word tells us that he is drawing us unto himself. We all have the opportunity to trust in God, to accept that free gift of salvation. And if we believe not, we're condemned already. If we do not turn from our sins and become slaves to Christ and live that free life in him, then we're slaves to sin. We're slaves to the devil. There's only two ways. It's either eternal life and life with God, or it's eternal death and separation from God forever. Eternal condemnation. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way to the Father except through Christ. There's not many ways. There's not other people that can lead you there. There's not something that we can do that brings us to the Father, but it's only through Christ. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Christ. That's the only way of salvation. There's no other way to heaven, to be with the Father for eternity. And lastly, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 13, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In our Sunday school class, we saw the shepherd, the angels that came and spoke to the shepherds and told of Jesus' birth. And then it says the shepherds went out and told everyone about Jesus' birth. So if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we've believed in him, we have eternal life. And now in this Christmas season and for all time, we can go out and tell others about the love that the Father has for each one of them. We can proclaim the birth of our Savior. We can proclaim the new life that we can live through him. But if we choose not to believe God's word, if we choose not to accept him as our Lord and Savior, if those that we go out and tell about the Son of God, the Savior of the world, if they choose not to believe, they will die in their sins. And they will face that eternal condemnation. But we can rejoice in this day and in this time that when we know God as our Lord and Savior, if we've accepted that free gift of salvation, we can rejoice like the angels rejoiced when Christ was born. God with us. God living in us. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us until that day comes when we can be with him. So we can rejoice with others and we can celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior who came that we might live and live more abundantly.